listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos, Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents What Are Human Beings? The sermon by the Reverend Jean Randall Bodman, presented on Sunday, October 7th, 2018.
Today, I want to offer you not so much a sermon as a personal testimony. A testimony of weariness, anger, and hope. I have had my heart cracked open again and again and again these last few weeks. I have been brought to a standstill by the depth of my own sadness. My mind and imagination have been caught up and caught off guard by memories from my own life and the stories of assault that other women and some men have entrusted to me. I have been incandescent with rage, and I have had to breathe deeply and look carefully into the eyes of the people who love me, and deeply into the faith that sustains me to reconnect with hope. It started, this cracking of my heart, as I listened to Dr. Blasey Ford testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee about being assaulted at a party when she was a teen. My heart cracked open because I believed her, because I could imagine all too well the cruel laughter of those boys, whoever they were. And I was filled with rage at all the boys in all the house parties and all the dorms in America. And in solidarity with all the girls and all the boys who ran away and those who couldn't. But my heart also cracked open in pity for those stupid boys, whoever they were, who had been taught to believe that the most important thing they could do was bond with another boy by being cruel to a girl, who had not learned that girls and women are people, or who had not learned to care. My heart broke open for all the ways we still undervalue women and value men for all the wrong things, for the way we confuse mockery and sneering for power, and power for righteousness. And then I read this morning's lesson, and my heart broke again for all the centuries in which our beautiful ancient texts have been misused to construct a culture that pretends that women are less valuable than men, that maleness is essential and femaleness derivative. I am exhausted by the fact that we are still having this conversation. But I am neither satisfied nor persuaded by the way this text has been read. And I need for my heart to be rested as I look around a world that feels like a fever dream. So let's look together again at this text. To put it in some context, Genesis, the very first book of our Bible, opens with the stories that our ancient ancestors told to each other to explain how we humans got here, and why, and what to do next. Genesis 1 tells the story this way. In the beginning, God created everything that humans know. Step by step, over six powerful days, God created the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon, the sea and the dry land and everything that grows on it, fish and birds, cattle and creeping things. And finally, at the pinnacle of God's creative activity, God created human beings in God's own image. Male and female, God created them. And after each act, God looked and said, "That's good. That's good. That's very good." And after all that creating, God rested. Now that seems like it ought to be the whole story right there. Everything got created, God rested. But apparently the ancients had some further questions about how we humans got here and why things weren't going so well for them and what they were supposed to do about it. because the ancient authors and editors added a second account of creation. Only in this one, instead of speaking human beings into existence as the great big culmination of the creative process, God started right at the very beginning, before the first raindrop had fallen, before the first plant or animal had been imagined. God stooped down, gathered up some dust, shaped it into a human being, and breathed life into it. Then God shaped the most perfect garden imaginable and placed the dust creature into it. And God looked at everything God had done and said, "Well, that's no good. My earth creature is all alone. It's not good for it to be lonely. I'll make it a companion. I'll make it a partner to help it be human." So one by one, God created other animals and brought them to the dust person, who said, "Well, this one is certainly very big, and it has beautiful soft eyes. I'll call it cow, but no, it's not for me. And this one is nice. It's interesting and quite shiny, and it sings a fantastic song. But it's a frog, and I just don't think we'd speak the same language. And this one, well, this one seems like the right size, and its fur is golden and soft and cuddly, but its teeth are far too big, and I don't like the way it's eyeing me as if I might be supper. It's a lion." And so on, one by one, each animal got a name, but still, none of them was the right companion for this dust creature. So God pulled flesh from the earthling's side. And from the one earthling, God created two new things. Adam, earth creature, became Ish, man. And he called his counterpart Isha. This one, this time, is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. We belong together. We belong to each other. I think it's an important story to dwell on in this most distressing of times. It reminds us of a couple of things. It reminds us that everything in all of creation is made up of the same earth stuff. That we are caught up in the same web of life as the hippopotamus and the fruit bat, the wolf and the lamb. And that we human beings were created to be in relationship with each other. That we need each other to be whole. The story tells us that to be human is to recognize one another as bone of the same bone and flesh of the same flesh. It's a story that explains partnering and parenting and building families, yes. But don't get stuck the way some in the religious world have on the one man, one woman thing, because if you look at the Hebrew Bible, that's certainly not what happened next. And it's about more than that, and something more important than that. It's about recognizing that other human beings are essentially kin to us. It's about acknowledging that we share a quality of createdness, and there are no aliens on the earth. Whether we share a language, a skin color, a culture, or a way of praying, we're all human together, and we all need each other. The other day, as I was cruising news sites online, as I am too wont to do, I saw a familiar political figure who I regard with dismay. Someone, I confess, for whom I harbor a deep disrespect. He was sitting before an important presentation, and in the photograph, he looks both terrified and miserable. And for just a fleeting moment, I felt a sense of human kinship with him, because I too have been afraid, and I too have been miserable. I cannot tell you how much I hate this, because now I have to pray for him and not just about him. I still don't like him. I still don't approve of his policies. But I see his humanity. For a moment, anyway. It's not easy. It is, in fact, extremely difficult, this call to recognize that God created us out of the same stuff. It's hard to claim that we belong to each other. And we can only do it in integrity, in honesty, in anger when that is warranted, in fierce determination to create change when injustice is being done, in solidarity with the oppressed, in opposition to the actions of the oppressor, in compassion for those who are in pain. We can only do it in love, all of us together. And I was reminded last weekend at that workshop, at the annual meeting, when we talked about the starlings. Starlings, I don't know how many of you have seen them in flight, but they fly in an amazing way, all together, but moving in unexpected directions. And what we learned at the meeting is that they're led from everyone, but each one affects directly the seven or so around it, who affect the seven around. It isn't a matter of having to affect everyone and everything. It's a matter of living in love and integrity and affecting the ones beside you. And that will move out into the world. We are created for each other. We human beings, we dust creatures, who God came to in Jesus, as one of us, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, to invite us back into ourselves, back to each other, and back to God. And it is just this way that God invites everyone to the table of mercy and inclusion, to gather strength for living in these days, true to our own humanity, calling forth the best humanity of those around us. All are welcome.